Hello, and welcome to The Developmental Edit. I'm your host, Christine Petty, from Last Page Editorial, and I'm here to help you write books readers can't put down. Today's episode, we are going to be talking about how to kill off some of your characters and how to do it in a way that helps your story and doesn't hurt your story, and in a way that readers will believe, and how it will be able to affect them emotionally, possibly for years to come, because we all know we've read books like that. So I want to start off by saying the obvious, what I hope would be obvious, but if you're writing in certain genres, you have to kill some characters. Lately, I've seen some writers who don't seem to understand this, or they just don't want to, I guess. And I get it, because if you spend so much time building a group of characters and they have really great chemistry and really interesting storylines and you can think of spinoffs that you want to write, then yeah, I get it. You don't want to kill anyone off, but you need to. You have to. You got to. Especially if you're writing dystopian or sci-fi or fantasy, you have to. If you're writing romance, that one's tricky. If your name is Nicholas Sparks, you're going to kill off one of them. The main character or their love interest. But other than that, I wouldn't recommend it. People like happy endings in romance. That's why they read romance. So give your characters a happy ending. Make sure they keep a happy ending, because I actually heard about one writer who had written a story and it was a romance and they had a happy ending. And then you know how in romance novels, it's like their best friend gets the next novel, and then their sister gets the next novel, and then their cousin gets the next novel. Well, in one of those later novels, one of the earlier couples, one of them died. And readers were furious because, again, if you're writing romance, your readers expect a happy ending, and they don't just expect it for that book. They expect a happily ever after, and that's what you need to give them. If you're writing something different, like if you're writing, for example, literary fiction, then feel free to kill off someone, because that's literary fiction. That's what happens. It's darker, it's more gritty and more realistic. But if you're writing romance, I wouldn't advise it. If you're writing a middle school novel, for middle grade, I mean, that is something that usually is a focal point of the novel. Someone is losing their best friend or a parent or a grandparent or somebody in their life who's important to them, and it's teaching them how to deal with it. And those are also very important stories. So if you're writing romance, you'll try to avoid it. If you're writing middle grade, that would be kind of the focus of whatever the story is that you're writing. And so it's a way of helping kids either who have already lost someone feel validated in their feelings, or anyone who reads it. I mean, I read middle grade novels. It's not just for kids, but anyone who reads it can feel validated in their feelings of grief and possibly learn how to process their grief. But also it's a really important thing for everyone, because we all go through it. At some point, we're all going to go through it. But specifically today, I want to focus on if you are writing dystopia, sci-fi, or fantasy, especially if you're leading up to a big battle, if you've been building up to a big showdown between the good guys and the bad guys for several books or just one book, someone needs to die. And it doesn't, and I don't just mean the bad guys. Like, yeah, we hope the bad guys die, but I mean someone from your group of characters, your beloveds, one of them at least, if not more, have to die. Because readers are anticipating that. They are expecting that. And you need to meet that expectation, because for whatever reason, that actually gives us an emotional payoff as readers, as people who love good stories. A well-placed death, a well-timed death. I don't know how to explain it, but like, there are deaths that happen in stories that are completely fictional that just burrow into our hearts and live there for the next 50 years. We're never going to get over it. But we actually get an emotional payoff from that. I don't know why. This is the reason why people watch Grey's Anatomy. I mean, think about it. If you've ever watched Grey's Anatomy for any period of time, if you've watched more than one season, people are dying. Sometimes it's a patient, and we've gotten emotionally attached to the patient. But a lot of times it's somebody that we have grown to know and love because it's one of the doctors or the people that are the main core of the show. And yes, they still die. No one is safe. But we come back and we watch it. Why? Because of the emotional payoff that death is giving us. I don't know why we like to live vicariously through the stories like this, but we do. So if you're going to kill someone off, I would recommend making it a meaningful death. I've read some books where I could immediately tell which characters were about to die, which annoys me, honestly. I'm not really sure how to explain it because, for example, I was reading something recently and a minor character whose name I don't even need to know because she's only going to be around for like 5 minutes is being described as being like the sweet person and like she's so cool. Once you get to know her, you're going to love her. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, she's about to die, isn't she? And yes, she did. She died. And it didn't really further the plot and it didn't really mean anything to the main character because in this particular book, there had been several deaths already. Death is a common thing in this book. So it kind of bothered me. A meaningful death is one where it's a character that we either already loved or we were fond of them. And I need to know them for more than 5 seconds before the death happens in order for that to happen, for that to occur. Remember that context is key. Like I talked about in the last episode, and if you haven't listened to my episode on context, give it a listen. But context is key. Why this character means something is important. I've also read books where the entire first chapter is like info dumping and world dumping about a character that I'm supposed to care about. But as soon as the info dumping about this character starts, I'm like, oh, this character is about to die. That's why they're info dumping, so that I can try to quickly create an emotional attachment to this character and then be shocked and horrified and angered and just come apart because they're dead now at the end of chapter two or whatever. That doesn't work. It doesn't work for me. Maybe it works for other people. Other people liked those books that I was talking about. Other people love those books. It doesn't work for me specifically because I don't know. I guess it's because in my real life, I take time to get to know people and trust people. So I feel the same way about characters. I have to know and trust a character. You can't just shove a bunch of information about them in my face and tell me all these nice things about them and then expect me to be upset about their death. I will be upset with you as a writer for doing it that way, but I won't be upset about their death because their death is still meaningless. If it's a character that I have come to know over the course of a book or several books, that I have seen them building friendships, I have seen them growing as a person, I have seen them pursuing a love interest or whatever it is, and then they die, that's going to hit hard. That's going to hurt. That's going to stick with me and want me to push forward in the story to find out, like, for example, do we get retribution or how are the characters going to deal with their death or whatever it is? That's going to make me want to keep turning pages. Other stories where, like I said, the one book where they info dumped about the best friend and then the best friend died after chapter one, I actually stopped reading. I didn't finish the book because I was just so pissed off at the writer for doing it that way. So, yeah, it needs to be someone who we have the context of. And I don't just mean throw it all at us at once and then kill them. I mean, give me an actual build up to their death. To give a couple of examples of books that use death effectively, obviously we could go with The Hunger Games. The entire premise of The Hunger Games is death. And there are a lot of characters that we don't even know their names and they die. And then there are the characters that we do know and we have that emotional connection to. And then when they die, we remember them. So, and no one is safe. Like, nobody in those books were safe. Even the very, I would say the very final death. It's not technically the final death, but at this point, if you haven't read it, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, but you don't expect Prim to die at the end. You aren't expecting it at all. And then all of a sudden she's there and then she's not there. And it hits you like a ton of bricks, and you're never going to get over it. You're never going to get over it. And so even though it's a premise with death, so we walk into it knowing this is the situation, because we've built relationships with these characters over time, those deaths still hurt and they can still be surprising. And yes, there are other minor characters who die, but at the same time, that's expected in this world. It's a dystopian world, and it's fine for minor characters to die because the premise is death. If your premise is death, minor characters dying is not a big deal. Frequent death is not a big deal, which sounds weird to say out loud, but at the same time, it's one of those where readers will walk into it expecting that. If you're writing something different where you're leading up to a giant battle or something like that, then you're going to need to kill some characters. An example of people who have not done this effectively, the Twilight series, nobody dies. There's this big battle at the end, which doesn't even really happen. And in the, I think in the movies, I haven't watched the fourth one, but I think in the movies, like, they like make it happen, but it was all in somebody's imagination and it didn't actually happen. Or so I can't even remember. I don't know. I haven't watched it, but something along those lines. All I remember is when I was reading the novels and no one died, I was like, well, that was very anticlimactic. Like, no one cares at this point. So same thing with, I'm going to say, the Court of Thorns and Roses series by Sarah J. Maas. You lead up to this giant battle with the King of Highburn, and it's supposed to be this epic thing, and then not much happens during the battle. Like, a couple of interesting things happen during the battle, but everyone comes out unscathed. And yes, a couple of main characters did die, but then they were brought back. Why? Just because we don't want them to die. And I just disagree with it. If you're a writer who loves it, if you're a reader who loves it, great, more power to you. But I think at least one, if not two, it doesn't have to be the same people who, quote, died and then didn't die in the last book, but somebody has to die. One or two of the main characters need to die. Otherwise, it breaks readers' trust because it's not realistic. And bringing them back, I was in the middle of feeling a lot of things about their deaths, and all of a sudden it was like, no, it's fine. They're here. It's okay. We're fine. And it just, I don't know how to explain it. It just, again, the emotional payoff wasn't there, and it kind of ruined the moment for me. And it was just a big letdown that she chose to do it that way. But I mean, hey, she makes millions of dollars on her books, and good for her. In Harry Potter, the interesting thing when I was thinking about Harry Potter is you have seven books, and in all of the books up until the Goblet of Fire, the only people who die that you see die, or that you know die, like, there's the basilisk in book two dies, Professor Quirrell dies in book one, but they're the bad guys. And because the first three books are middle grade novels, we're like, okay, good. Bad guy's dead. Yay. We're fine with it. And the other deaths that are talked about and referenced in those novels, because death is referenced, death has been there since the beginning because Harry's parents died. And along with a lot of other people, but that's all backstory. That's all happening off the page. And we aren't seeing it and experiencing it. And the only deaths that we experience are bad guys. So it works in that scenario. And then in book four, in The Goblet of Fire, and this is something I actually love about this book, is because The Goblet of Fire is my favorite of the Harry Potter series because the first death is a child. It's Cedric. And I say child, he's a teenager, but still, he's a kid. And his is the first death, and it's instant, and you don't see it coming. I didn't see it coming. And I just remember thinking how powerful it is that in this war that they're about to start, for real, the first death is a child. And what that says about war, and what that says about the needlessness of death, which is kind of an ironic thing for me to say in this episode, but you get my meaning, hopefully. So yeah, his is the first death that you see, and you feel it, and it sticks with you. And then later, other major characters die. People that are close to Harry die. Characters, once again, that we have built the context around, that we have seen and been through things with, and then they die, and it haunts you, and it sticks with you, but it makes the story more powerful and more meaningful, and it sticks with you forever. People still can't get over Fred. People still can't get over Dobby. Like, there are so many characters. Lupin, come on, Lupin and Tonks. So there are so many characters that you come to love, and then they die, and it's a more powerful story because of it. Their deaths have meaning because we loved them so much, and we went through things with them before they went. So if you're writing a novel and or a series, who should you choose to kill? Again, if it's romance, I don't recommend killing anyone. If it's middle grade, I would or if it's a realistic fiction for like a modern fiction for anybody, really, that would basically be like this one singular death, or like maybe a family or something like that, like losing parents or whatever it is. That would be the focus of the novel and how the character, the main character, is dealing with that. And so there's that aspect. If it's fantasy, science fiction, dystopia, I wouldn't recommend killing off main characters. I recommend killing off side characters that are important to the main characters. And I don't recommend killing off main characters, and I don't recommend bringing anybody back from the dead, like I said. I was reading Iron Flame, which I liked. I didn't like it as much as the first one, but I liked Iron Flame. I'm going to keep reading. But she did do the thing where she kills off minor characters in predictable ways, and then also bring someone back from the dead. And I was like, ugh, I hate this. But I'm interested to see where she goes with it, because I don't know. It's one of those where it could be good, it could be not good. I'm going to keep reading because there are other elements that I enjoyed, but I don't recommend it because it's hard to do well, for one thing. But yeah, if you have a core group of, usually it's like 4 to 6 characters, I would say that at least one of them needs to die in a battle. If it's a major war and you have a larger group of characters, 2 or more. If you have a lot of characters, like you've been building this up over 2, 3, or 4 books, then you're going to have a larger body count. You're going to have a higher body count. I don't know if this is actually a thing. I just kind of came up with it. You could play Murder Mash, the game Mash, where you're like writing down like people that you like, and then you're writing down number of kids, and then you're writing down jobs, and then you're writing down places to live, and then you do the little swirly thing and you count, and then every time you get to the number 5 or 6 or whatever the number is, you cross something off until you have 1 in each category. Well, you could play Murder Mash, where you write down all the characters' names that you have. Characters that we care about, characters that we know, characters that are on the side that we're cheering for. And you could put like four names in each column or divide it up however you want, and then play Murder Mash where you just every five names or every three names or whatever it is, you're going to cross something off until you have one in each column. And that character is going to die in some way in this battle. I don't know. There are other ways that I'm sure you could do it, but I encourage you, don't be afraid to do it, because it's going to have a bigger payoff for your reader and it's going to be more believable. It's going to hurt more. And for some reason, we will savor it. We will savor the pain because, I don't know, we're masochists is what we like to do. So I hope this is helpful. I hope that you found something useful, and I hope that you actually do end up killing off one or more of your characters, but in a meaningful way. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I really appreciate your time. I appreciate you listening. If you enjoyed it, please share it with someone that you know who would get something from it. You can share it. You can like, follow, subscribe, hit a button. Leave a review if you want to. Those are all excellent ways to help me get this podcast out there. If you're interested in working with me on developmental editing for any number of genres, you can find me at lastpageeditorial.com. I have all of my services listed there. I also can be reached at christine@lastpageeditorial.com. Is that my email? I think so. You know what? Just hit me up on Instagram. Instagram at Last Page Editorial. So, anyway, thank you so much for listening. I will be back soon with another episode. I hope you have a wonderful week and write bravely. This is the end of the show. I hope you liked it. This is the end of the show. I hope you found it somewhat helpful. And if you have any questions, or you just like to connect, I'm on Instagram at Last Page Editorial. Have a great day.